Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the third taping of the FC Cincy podcast. We are here. As a community, we're on the brink of the playoffs, and I wanted to bring in someone. We're going to get right into our first interview. We have a jam-packed show tonight. I wanted to get right into our first guest. You have listened to him diligently, faithfully, all year. And right now, I want to welcome to the podcast Local 12 play-by-play voice of FC Cincinnati, Tommy G. Tommy, welcome.
Thank you, Pat. Happy to be here, and obviously a very exciting weekend on tap.
Very exciting indeed. You know, before we get into Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati stuff, Tommy, I wanted to pick your brain about it's an incredible week in the history of sports broadcasting. We're losing two legends. They're not dead, but we're losing them from the profession. Dick Enberg and Vin Scully. I wanted to start things off by asking if there's going to be any kind of a hangover for you on Sunday, because you're on the call, correct? Sunday?
Yeah.
You're on the call. How have you experienced the departing from the profession of Dick Enberg and Vince Scully?
Well, first of all, I hope that there's a little bit of excitement hangover Sunday after a win by FC Cincinnati. So, regardless of those guys, but Vince Scully, you talk about the class of broadcasting, someone who's just unbelievable. You saw his call the other night on his final home game at Dodger Stadium, the way that he handled that. He is who you look up to as a broadcaster. He's always prepared. He's so smooth in his delivery and the way that he puts a broadcast together. So Vin Scully certainly is as classy as they come. And then Dick Enberg, no question, is right up there as one of the best. So certainly the industry is losing two of the best, but they've influenced so many others. So hopefully there's a lot of broadcasters who are doing a great job because they paid attention to the way that Dick Enberg and Vin Scully carry themselves on a broadcast.
My money is on Tommy G to be the next great voice in professional sports broadcasting in America. And he's going to do it right here in Cincinnati. You know, Tommy, I have writers, people that cover soccer, people that cover all variety of sports, all variety of subjects across beats, even non-sports, people that I try to emulate when I go to write a story. I've been doing homework on great soccer writers in preparation for this weekend. Is there a broadcaster that you try to emulate when you're in the booth calling FC Cincinnati games?
I don't know that there's necessarily a soccer broadcaster that I'm trying to emulate in that regards. From the time I was very young, I've always, you know, enjoyed listening to Bob Costas, and of course he's covered a wide variety of sports, and that's someone that I've always looked up to. I went to Syracuse, he went to Syracuse. Those colors kind of bleed pretty well with FC Cincinnati, so my wardrobe worked out pretty well in that regards. But, you know, it's somebody, you know, I look up to a lot of broadcasters. Dave Pasch at ESPN has been a good friend of mine, Adam Amin, guys who prepare really well. That's what I try to do. I try to dig up stories. I try to find all the nuggets that I can. And somebody told me many, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, it was one of the guys working with the LA Lakers, and he told me that if you use 10% of what you prepare for a broadcast, you've done a great job. So I know going in to Sunday that I prepared all this research, and I have a legal-sized folder full of research on both teams. And I know I'm not going to get to it all, but I want to be ready. And a great story is when FC Cincinnati played Pittsburgh earlier this year, and I had literally gotten home from vacation, flown back from Hawaii Friday, and on the plane, was doing my research, getting ready for the match. Saturday morning, got up early. I'm sitting at my dining room table getting ready for that match. I couldn't find anything on their backup keeper. And I kept digging and digging. I spent about a half an hour, and I finally found a couple good nuggets on the backup keeper. This is a guy who had played 0 minutes going into May 14th. And you know who started that day? The backup keeper for Pittsburgh. Played really well. But I had information on him because I spent the time, the extra 25, 30 minutes, to find some information on him. Not many backup goalkeepers play over the course of the year. But every once in a while, you get that starting lineup. I get that text message about an hour before the match, and I see somebody starting. I want to be prepared. I want to be able to tell their story if they end up in that starting 11. So that's I try to emulate the guys that I watch and that I listen to that do a really good job preparing and do a good job delivering the match.
There's a life lesson in there about preparation, I think, guys. Hopefully you heard it. Tell us about you. You touched on that a little bit, but your experience – covering FC Cincinnati this year. I tell anyone that'll listen to me, and that's not very many people, that was funny. I tell people that you know, this the experience for me of covering FC Cincinnati has so far surpassed the expectations. I think that's been true of people who have interacted with the club on a variety of levels. Have you had a similar experience? Was this has this surpassed your expectation just in terms of the size and scope and the magnitude of the experience?
Yeah, there's no question. And I think anybody who tells you that they expected everything that has happened this year is probably lying to you. I don't think that you can believe that anybody said that there'd be 35,000 for an EPL team in July, that a year ago they would have said that, or that the club was going to average 17,000 fans, you know, per match over the course of the regular season for the USL and finish third in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, there's moments certainly that I remember being in the booth from this season, the first match after Austin Berry scores and, you know, the team's leading late in the match in the first ever game at Nippert Stadium. And I kind of tapped Kevin. I just told him to be quiet. And the whole stadium was chanting FCC. FCC was the first time. And that's like the goosebump moment that you have over the course of the season is that first game when you see that the fans came out, 14,000. It was 40 degrees, 38 degrees that night. The conditions certainly weren't great. But the whole stadium's chanting. And then, you know, and I joke about it. I worked at the University of Cincinnati for 9 years. And Jeff worked with the Bengals. And he knows Cincinnati fans historically show up late for games. That's just how they are. Whether it's the Reds or the Bengals or the Bearcats or Xavier, they aren't there when the game begins. And at Crystal Palace, we shot her open, and the way the press box works, you know, it's up above where we shoot our open, and we step down, and it's a couple minutes till the match starts. And I tap Kevin. I say, you see this? Everybody's here. We're 5-10 minutes away from the match starting, and there's 35,000 people here. And that's another one of those moments that I'll remember from this inaugural season is just the fan support coming out and them being there en masse, early, on time, to see that first touch.
Tommy, that's a great anecdote. That's an awesome anecdote. Let's talk about this Sunday's match. You had the privilege of calling one of FC Cincinnati's two games against Charleston Battery this year. It was a 1-1 draw back on the 30th of July, I believe. What are you expecting this Saturday? Sunday, excuse me.
It's okay. I've said Saturday a few times this week as well. It's a little bit different with the Sunday match, but, you know, Sunday at 4 o'clock, a chance to play Charleston again, as you mentioned. We saw them on July 30th at Nippert Stadium and, of course, went to Charleston for the first match in this club's history all the way back in late March. But that match on July 30th, I rewatched, and I was just telling Andrew Wiedemann, who will join you later, I rewatched it this afternoon. And that first half, it could have been 5-0 at halftime. They came out flying in a 4-1-4-1, guys attacking all over. Paul Nicholson wasn't available. Kenny Walker wasn't available. So they had a couple significant injuries for that match back on July 30th. And there was three or four scoring opportunities in the first half that missed the goal by maybe 6 inches or 12 inches and were that close to really dominating Charleston in that match. Now, of course, they're going to be without one of their key midfielders. Justin Portillo is out. Of course, Omar Cummings is still out for FC Cincinnati. But, you know, without Justin Portillo, I think it changes their midfield quite a bit. But they still are a very good team. They're a team with a lot of history. They've been to the playoff in all 6 years that the USL has been in existence as the USL. So they're a club that has a lot of history. I expect a great match. They're a team. You certainly knew whoever FC Cincinnati drew for this match, it was going to be a challenge. And Charleston will present that. In the end, I feel FC Cincinnati is a better club. I think they come out, play like they're capable, they get a win, and they advance to the following weekend. I think when you look at it, and I've watched a lot of it, shocking everybody here agrees, but they're the better club, and they should go out there and win on Sunday.
Now Tommy's going to run over to Jack Casino and bet that line. Bet that. You can all take that to the bank. Tommy, you ooze preparation. You were talking about preparation when we first opened the show, and I can tell that just from speaking to you now. You are ready. You are in playoff form, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are in playoff form. Cincinnati is lucky to have you as the play-by-play voice of FC Cincinnati. I think years from now, when we go back and look at through the archives of some of the early FC Cincinnati games, hearing your signature voice, your signature calls will be a great recollection that jogs a lot of memories in a really positive and fun way. So cheers to your continued success. Cheers to a few more home games. Tommy G. Andrew Wiedemann scores his double hat trick finishes his double hat trick in the 90th minute to win 6-5 on Sunday. Give us the call. Give us the call.
I'm not mocking that up, because if we give up 5 goals on Sunday, despite winning 6-5, we're going to have some psychological appointments for Mitch Hildebrand on Monday morning. So let's not give up 5. 6-0 would be fine. And Vander would have it. But then we can go with their dancing in the Bailey tonight. How about that? Okay. There you go. Does that work?
Tommy G, they're dancing in the Bailey. I love it. I absolutely love it. We're going to take a quick break. We're back. You know, it was business as usual this week for FC Cincinnati. And by that, I guess I mean that the club's been busy stealing international headlines, breaking ticket sales records, and preparing to receive the MLS commissioner, as one of my colleagues reported this past week. All just days, hours ahead of arguably the biggest, well, I think safe to say the biggest game in the history of this young club. And we're fortunate enough to be joined tonight by one of the key men behind that, one of the great sportsmen in Cincinnati, modern-day Cincinnati sports, Jeff Birding. Please welcome Mr. Birding to the show.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for coming out.
You know, I had a long day, Jeff. I don't know if you read any of my stuff on Cincinnati.com. I did write a few things. I was chasing clowns around the city all day.
But we're talking about that.
But I'm back.
What is coming to our world?
Well, listen, this is your town. You served as a city councilman here.
We never had to deal with clowns. Well, except for some of my fellow members of city council. They're maybe a little.
Whoa. Not touching that. But listen, we're back at Ryan House. I'm sitting with Jeff, someone I've conversed with a lot throughout this past season. My equilibrium is well and truly restored. So, Jeff, thank you sincerely for joining us. You've always been very gracious about giving us some of your time. Fortuitous for not, maybe a little bit not as fortuitous for you, in terms of joining us tonight, there was a big breaking news story that came across the line Monday. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about it.
Sure.
Sherry Coolidge from Cincinnati.com and the Cincinnati Inquirer reported that on November 29th, MLS Commissioner Don Garber will be here in the Queen City. It's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting stuff. Jeff, I'd like to put you on the spot. What are your raw thoughts about scoring that meeting with Commissioner Garber?
Well, it's a testament to our fans who have come out in record numbers this year. It speaks to the tremendous embrace of FC Cincinnati in our inaugural year. It's obviously we have a tremendous ownership group led by Carl Lindner III, and you know, you put it all together, and we've had a very special year. And you know, our goal this year was to put Cincinnati on the map of the U.S. Soccer scene. And you know, we not only achieved that, but we've put ourselves on the international soccer scene, because we've been the story this year all across Europe and other parts of the world, that what's happening here in Cincinnati is a testament to how soccer is in the United States is catching up with the rest of the world. So, you know, our focus has been to be the best USL franchise we could be, but we said from day one that we want to bring professional soccer at the highest level of Cincinnati. Right now, the highest level available to us is the USL, but it's an aspirational league. And we certainly hope that when we did everything we could do and built this relationship with our fans in this great city, that we would put ourselves in consideration for an opportunity someday to move up to MLS. To be fair, it's probably happened a little bit more quickly, but as the MLS looks to expand, I don't think there's any question that Cincinnati has to be near the top of the list based on what we've achieved this year. And I'm going to give a message here tonight. You think this year's been great? You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see what we're going to get done together. So we have a lot to be proud of, and we look forward to having the commissioner come to Cincinnati and showing off our great city.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Save the date. You might be called upon. I understand there'll be some interaction with town hall meeting. There'll be some interaction with the public that day. So November 29th, keep your ears peeled. Follow the Inquirer. We'll bring you updates as soon as they're available regarding Commissioner Garber's visit. You know, a lot of people would pay good money to be a fly on the wall for some of those meetings. If you had 5 minutes with Don Garber, have you thought about what an elevator speech might sound like?
We've acknowledged that we've already had conversations with MLS. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, respectfully, a lot of people in other parts of our country look at the Midwest as just flyover territory. And so without question, and I hope people have heard this from FC Cincinnati this year, there's no question that we've drawn soccer fans and soccer fanatics in this community, and that's always been a part of it. And frankly, that's how we've created this organic, authentic soccer environment. But it's also just been about Cincinnati. Our name, FC Cincinnati, that was on purpose. That was to put Cincinnati out there front and center. And, you know, Cincinnati is a city on the rise. Cincinnati and what we've achieved with our soccer franchise is a reflection on a city on the rise. You have soccer on the rise in this country. Cincinnati is a city on the rise. And our timing was perfect in order to marry those two forces up and create a success story here in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is one of the hottest cities in America. And millennials are drawing here in big numbers because we have a great startup scene with the Brandery and Centrifuge. You know, we outpunch our weight class with our Fortune 500 companies who support the startups. So we got a lot of great things happening, and the environment of what's going on here has really created an opportunity for us to be successful. And that's what we look forward to showing off when the commissioner visits.
Well, again, we'll look forward to November 29th. Your organization had about 14 days to flip the tickets for the Sunday's game. My first question is, can you give us an updated number on where ticket sales are at? I know they were at 20,000 yesterday, I think. And what has that process been like? Because you've moved significant amounts of tickets in relatively short periods of time, but I don't know if you've had a crunch, if your ticket people have had a crunch like this. Talk us through that.
Well, we certainly haven't, because we were selling Crystal Palace for a couple months when we moved 35,000 tickets. And we started that where all the season ticket holders already had their tickets. And so in this case, we started from zero, not 6,000 plus. So first off, the season ticket holders not only bought their tickets for the playoff games, but they bought additional tickets for the playoff game. And so all the credit goes to season ticket holders for giving us a real lift right out of the gate, as well as a lot of people who have already put deposits down for 2017 also were buying big numbers of tickets. But like everything has happened this year, we've hit a tipping point in this community where I think there's a sense of pride and ownership where whether or not you're an enormous soccer fan or you're just a fan of our city or a fan of having a good time, people have decided that FC Cincinnati is an important part of our scene and they want to be in on the excitement. And anyone that was at the Orlando City game where we clinched the home playoff, I mean, that was – I've been – the Bengals, 19 years, I've seen a lot of thrilling games, and I'll tell you, I've never been at a thriller like that Orlando City game. We score after the 80th minute, and then we're hanging on to make sure that we maintain the win, and it was a thrilling game. Anyone that was there, I think, had a great time, and I think that word's out a little bit, that it's a great time. You come down, you support your team, it's loud, it's authentic, you have a great time. And so I only cite that to say, I think the word's out on FC Cincinnati in this market. And so people are just going online, they're buying their tickets, they're calling us up, and it's just been remarkable. We set a goal that we would like to see the game sell out. When I was at the Bengals, our home playoff game sold out. I'm a Reds season ticket holder. Reds playoff games sell out. And so FC Cincinnati, we've aspired to be right up there as one of Cincinnati's pro sports teams. We want this game to sell out. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to get over 30,000. I want to keep our tarps up in the upper deck because it adds an element of branding that I think speaks to our fans. But the tarps in the upper deck now are above, I think it's row 8. And so if we get into the 30,000 range, it'll be a sellout. We're approaching 25 right now. I would anticipate overnight we'll exceed 25,000.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it's been awesome. Our people have worked very hard, and our sales staff, but really the credit just goes to fans. We have a new feature on our website that's called Rally Up. So people can rally their fans by sending invitations saying, hey, let's rally at the FC game. I've seen a lot of activity on that. So, you know, it's just been remarkable, but this whole year has been remarkable. And I'm just, I'm very excited that our players who are going out there and to compete in what will be an epic match are going to have 30,000 some fans out there cheering for them. It's going to be a tremendous environment.
You know, one of the things I've been, you and I usually check in about once or twice a month. It's been a little while, through no fault of anyone's, of course. But one thing I've been dying to ask you as we've come down the home stretch is, it occurs to me that you've assembled a winning product, a winning team. You certainly have a match-winning coaching and technical staff. And I wanted to get from you some understanding, because we are, you know, like it or not, we're at a point in the season. I'm sure, I know everyone here wants the team, you know, they want this run to keep going for another month, right, guys?
Oh, yeah!
But by nature of single elimination games, the next one could be the last, which begs the question, what does next year look like? And I know in the moment you're trying to enjoy the playoff game, and we want you to enjoy that. I do wonder if you anticipate that it would be hard to keep this group together, and to the extent that you're able to discuss this, what would it take to keep the bulk of this group together on the technical and personnel side?
Well, I think all of us celebrate our accomplishments in our inaugural season. We have a tremendous locker room. Our guys are very high character guys. They knew what they were coming to do, which was not only to be an exciting team, a winning team, but also to help us build our brand in this market. And so guys are going up to Children's Hospital and Ronald McDonald House, and they're doing clinics. They're going to the city rec centers. I mean, they've really bought into that we're trying to build something that has staying power in this city. So, you know, John and I have started talking about next year, and, you know, we'd like to keep the team together as best we can. Obviously, it's a performance business, and that means that some of our guys maybe have an opportunity to move up, and that puts us in a position to continue to, you know, look to build. But I'm confident, you know, we're working on a training center, we're building a youth program, and so we're going to continue to focus on player development, both with the first team as well as, you know, with an academy at some point. But the point is, as I said before, this year has been a great year, but the fans should know that as long as I'm the GM, we're going to have a winning team every year. We're going to compete to win the championship every year, and the goal will always be to bring the trophy back to Cincinnati. That's what this is. This is sports. This is competition. And if you're not in it to win, get out. Yeah! I'm in it to win.
Big weekend, big atmosphere. I was saying to Jeff off the air before we came back on, I'm starting to feel a little bit of that Crystal Palace buzz, you know, the buzz that kind of started to pick up midday Thursday before the Crystal Palace match. I don't know. I feel it. One last question before we let you go, Jeff, and thank you again for joining us. You and I spoke off the air about enjoying the moment. That's something a lot of sportsmen that I've interacted with, Urban Meyer comes to mind, they're not able to reach an equilibrium where they're able to enjoy these special moments. It sounds like you're in a good place in terms of appreciating what this season has been, what this weekend means. Tell us about where you're at with that, kind of, because it is a struggle, isn't it?
It is. It is. Carl Lindner has to remind me all the time to enjoy the moment and enjoy what we've achieved. And my daughter Grace is here, and she'll attest to this. I tend to be a pretty intense guy and very competitive guy, and that does not come easy to me. If you ask any great sportsman, coach, or player, they can always point to the most painful losses much more easily than they can point to the great victories, because those painful losses stick in their craw for a really long time. And so I will say I've enjoyed this year, obviously. I had a great job at the Bengals for 19 years. I love the people down there. I'm a big NFL fan, but I knew that this was what I wanted to do with my life. It was a tremendous opportunity. It was important to our city, and I wanted to do it. But as a part of that, most of the year has just been focused on, you know, first it was getting a coach and assembling the players, and then it was the first game, and then it was, you know, the next game, and then it was our bar had been raised. It wasn't 10,000, it was 15,000, and then it was 17,000. Well, let's make sure we stay at 17,000, and then it was Palace, and then it was the playoffs, and so now it's already planning on 2017 and the visit by Commissioner Don Garber. So the challenges are always there, and there's a seriousness with which I approach the challenge, because I feel that I have every fan who's been so incredible in helping us create this movement, this moment for our city, that I have all of them. You know, I have a sense of responsibility. They've done their part, and I have to do my part, and my part is to continue to build this. But I will say, and I said it in an article recently, at the Crystal Palace game with Tommy, you mentioned that everyone came early. And so I was in my suite before the game, and my daughter Grace, who's a sophomore in high school, was with me up in the suite. And right before kickoff, we had done Glad All Over, and the crowd was really into it, and Palace was into it, and it was a special environment with a full Nippert. And my daughter Grace literally put her hand on my shoulder and said, "Dad, look what you've done." And I had some real sentimental feelings about that, and I said, "Look what we've done," because it has been a tremendous effort with our players buying in, our coaches, our ownership group, all the staff at FC, but most importantly, the fans. Because if the fans from day one don't create that game environment, that authentic environment that blew away people. People in this city had no idea what a professional soccer game looked like, what it felt like, until they came to our FC Cincinnati games and they had that wow moment. Yeah. And so, absolutely. So when I said to Grace, "Look what we did," it's a sense of civic pride that I look out at our city and I look out at what FC Cincinnati has become this year, and I really mean it. We did it. So thank you.
Can you feel the passion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cheers to that. Cheers to the fans.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff, you and I haven't always seen eye to eye. You've always been a gentleman about... No. This is my corny send off. We actually haven't. I just said that. We get along quite well, don't we? No, my conversations with you, you've always been so giving of your time. I think I'm an observer of the team. I think the fans of this club are very lucky to have you in the capacity that they have you, and I think that. I think Sunday has the potential to be another special day, and maybe many more to come after that.
Absolutely.
So cheers to you. I look forward
cheers.
To keeping in touch with you this autumn, Jeff.
Cheers, guys.
We'll be back. All right, we're back, and I am joined now by FC Cincinnati midfielder Andrew Wiedemann. He is a man who has helped propel this team to the top of USL in short order. He is the second leading goal scorer. And for my money, he's on a team full of lookers. He is one of the most handsome men on this roster. Please welcome Andrew Wiedemann. Andrew.
What's going on, guys? Appreciate y'all having me out here tonight. I'm focused, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
In playoff form, as you can see. I like to start these off when I have the players on. by asking, you know, I did this for Sean. I want to extend to you the same courtesy. You look like an incredibly someone who cares about how they are dressed when they walk out of the house every day. Who are you wearing today?
This old thing? It's just something I threw on.
So would you say it's safe to describe your dressing style as a little more casual?
Yeah, definitely casual. I wouldn't say I try as hard as Ugo does. He puts a lot of effort. But you should have seen this thing he wore today. It was it looked like long johns. It was pink, a pink top, pink bottoms, the biggest drop crotch I've ever seen. This thing went down to his knees. This guy's got to focus up, start wearing better clothes.
Whoa, shots fired. Unbelievable. I didn't know it got contentious like that with you guys about your dressing. I did hear Ugo got his tips frosted yesterday.
He did.
How's he look?
He did. He got his hair done, too. Yeah. It looks pretty nice. Okay. It's good. Kind of blinding, but it's good.
Blinding. Okay, very good. Listen, seriously, let's get into it. I want to ask you, Andrew, about the trajectory of your career and how you came to be. In this moment, I want to know, where were you at this time last year, September 30th, 2015? What were you doing, i.e., who were you playing for? Let's share this information with the audience. And how would you describe the state of your soccer career at that moment? That is not a loaded question. It's not.
I was playing for Ottawa Fury FC of the NASL, and I think we were closing up on the end of our regular season, doing well. We actually had a pretty decent team, made a good run to the final last year where we lost. Interesting note, I was talking with somebody the other day about how many players have been in the finals of all three leagues. I'm 0 for 2 so far, so it would be nice to get that batting average up to 33%. So hopefully we can win one this year and change my luck.
Absolutely. Well, I want to know, tell us about Ottawa. How was that? What was that experience like playing there? How does it compare to what you've experienced in Cincinnati over the last, I guess you've been involved with the organization for about 11 months now, Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take us through, compare and contrast Ottawa and Cincinnati. The whole experience on the field, off the field. We want to know. Look how hungry these guys are for information.
Okay. Ottawa, first and foremost, very cold. Second, I got paid in Canadian dollars there versus American dollars here. So that's a nice bonus. On a side note, I would like to say focus, 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 focus. Let's see. The club here is run very, very, very well. I mean, the players, the coaches, the support staff, everything is top-notch. There's nothing, I guess, minor league, so to speak, about it. Yes, we are a third-tier club, but we have very, very high expectations and ambitions, as Jeff alluded to earlier. So everything here is run with that in mind. So for me, I've enjoyed every moment of being here. I love the city. I love the fans, obviously. Love my teammates, and I love the club. So it's been a great experience for me.
Good stuff. I asked Jimmy about this when we had him on the show, our last show, and it was about, I wanted to pick his brain about playing for John Harkes. I struggle to get past the fact that John Harkes is here in Cincinnati, and, you know, it must be some kind of experience playing for him. Was there ever a moment when you guys were, maybe I'm going to reveal myself to be a total dork, was there ever a moment when you guys were kind of like, oh my God, I'm about to play for John Harkes? What's it like playing for him? And what kind of a manager is he?
He's a player's manager. He's a guy who interacts with all the players. He's very friendly, so there's not kind of like that standoffishness, I guess, you know, and that distance. He's very open with his players and has very close relationships. So, I mean, that I think is great because it can kind of put you at ease. I mean, obviously, we're very fortunate because this guy's a legend in U.S. soccer history. And, I mean, he's got so much knowledge about the game, and he's, you know, he's able to impart that on his players. So we're all very lucky to have that opportunity to try and absorb some of that. And I mean, I think getting him here speaks to the club's ambitions. You know, that was one of the first things they did. Jeff and the front office went out and they got John Harkes, who is an American soccer legend, as their coach. So I mean, that showed from the very get-go that they meant business and wanted to do things right here.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to get from you. I also asked Jimmy about. It's an MLS question, but it's not quite an MLS question in the sense that I'm really trying to understand how you guys have experienced the upward mobility of FC Cincinnati as they try to break into MLS. And it's a years-long process, something that just by the nature of being a professional athlete, some of you might not be around for if and when it finally happens, right? And it's something that these are conversations that you guys don't really have a say in a verbal sense. You're the players that are here now. But do you feel like you have a stake in that dream and in that vision? And to what extent do you feel invested in it?
Yeah, I mean, you alluded to that. I think Orlando, when they went from USL, I think they retained like 6 players or something when they went to MLS. So, I mean, the turnover rate is super high. Now, this is also a goal that's years off, so who knows if I will still even be in the picture at that point. I think, for me, I wholeheartedly support the club in getting to MLS because that's where this team belongs. I mean, in terms of USL, we're the gold standard. And so the city has really embraced us, and I think the city and the fans are at a MLS level, and so that's what they deserve. So I'm all for that. Now, if I'm a part of that conversation when it comes around, who knows? As I've said, it's a ways off. But, yeah, you know, we just got to stay focused, I think, on the goal at hand right now, which is winning the USL championship. And then if we can show that we can win, I mean, that's obviously not going to hurt the case for going MLS eventually as well.
And it will be, give him a round of applause. Great answer. You mentioned the task at hand. The task at hand right now is Charleston Battery. I had a chance to talk to Ugo and JH, John Harkes, earlier this week. Practice that day. It was Tuesday I came out. Practice was very lax. It seemed everyone feels loose. Describe the atmosphere in the camp right now. You are now, what, how many hours? Thank you.
How many hours?
Jeff's good at math. About 40, right? Yeah, 40 hours out. Are the nerves starting to ratchet it up at all? What's the mood in the camp right now?
No, I wouldn't say there's too many nerves. I mean, for us going out, it's another week. We have a good recipe that's got us to this point. It's been a hell of an inaugural season. And so there's really no point in changing that up. It is win or go home, but I think you got to worry about the process, and then the results will take care of ourselves. So we've been going about it like it's any other week. Going out and preparing like we would for any other game, and you do that, you play the odds, and the odds have shown this year that we're more likely than not to come out with a victory, so we're all confident in that.
And I wonder, you know, I asked John and Ugo earlier this week, how do you evaluate the season series, and I guess how relevant is it to Sunday's game? You know, the opening game of the year was a very weird one, kind of a waterlogged pitch. I told John, and John actually agreed with me, I was surprised you guys played that game. Just watching the referee try to dribble a ball around, but you know, during the rain delay, and the ball just sat in water. So that was a weird game. Still had chances to nick it. Charleston ended up nicking it, but just a weird game is my main point. And then 1-1 draw, pretty competitive game here. Tommy talked about that earlier at Nippert back on July 30th. How do you do you apply the season series to this game at all?
No, not really. I mean, we're a completely different team now than we were at the beginning of the year. We're playing with a lot more focus and intensity. And did you guys hear that? I said focus. So, I mean, like I said, focus, intensity, focus. I did, yes. No, so at the beginning of the year, I mean, we were a new team, right? We got 25 new moving parts, and I mean, I think we kind of looked that part. So we went on and we lost that game, and I think that, 94th minute, like you said, it was tough. It was a rain delay. We had to go out for warm-ups, come back in, wait, go back out. So that one was a bit of a wash, no pun intended. Yeah. You got a laugh track on this thing?
We do.
Excellent. Let's put that in later, huh? No, and then the game mid-season, I mean, I think we were the better team during that. You know, we tied, obviously, but as Tommy said earlier, we could have been up 4 goals in the first half. I thought that was one of our better performances in terms of putting pressure on the opponent's goal and whatnot. We were unlucky not to convert, but I like to think that we're saving them for Sunday.
I think a lot of people here like to think that as well, right, guys? You guys are tuned out. You're in your cups, as my dad would say. Focus. Last question. Well, one of the last questions before we get into extra time, and then maybe we can open it up for questions for Andrew very briefly. You think that's cool, Jason? Open it up for some questions? All right, great. I have noted in past stories that you guys, the FC Cincinnati players, live at an unnamed apartment complex in an unnamed Cincinnati neighborhood. And I want to know from you, who are your roommates?
Roommates. My roommate is that gorgeous blonde there back in the corner, my girlfriend. That's her. Not that one. That's her sister. The other one. Yeah. so, yeah, her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you – okay, that kind of messes up my line of questioning. Yeah. So did they? So your agent – your agent didn't go to work for you. He didn't get you your own room at a.
No,
oh! I get it now, Jeff. Thank.
I know. You couldn't get me out of that.
Jeff. Jeff just walked me through that. Okay, good agent. All right. Well, let's get into it then. Forget my line of questioning. Let's get into extra time, bonus questions with Andrew Wiedemann. Big, heavy hitting, hard hitting stuff. I have just 4 questions for you, but they are going to cut to the core of who you really are. You're going to reveal yourself to this throng here tonight, this Cincinnati throng. No, I think it'll be all right. All right. Yeah, me either, but here we are.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay. Question 1. The biggest goal of your career was scored in which uniform?
Jeez, Cincinnati.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
Which game?
Toronto goal was nice. Hey, which one of the 4 I scored in Toronto? Jeez, hey. Toronto goal against Columbus in the rain. It was like a 93rd minute winner. Was great. But the goal this year against, who was it, Harrisburg, I think, at home, is probably one of my
you can't keep players. Track. There have been so many.
So many, dude. All 7 of them. It's crazy. Oh, man.
Question 2. Your favorite manager or coach throughout your entire career? Gotta pick one. There are ways to hedge this.
Does this, he doesn't? John Harkes? Does this go like back to like youth coaching as well? College? Can we go college?
Absolutely. Let's cut it off. Let's start the timeline at college.
Okay. I mean, I would credit a lot of my growth as a player to my college coach, Kevin Grimes. Incredible guy, incredible coach. Really was invested in his players and seeing their development. So I go with him.
And you played at UCLA?
Oh, I did not.
No. Where did you play? Where did you play, Andrew?
I played at Berkeley, Golden Bears.
Boy, of all the places I could have said, UCLA. Come on, Wikipedia.
Tommy G's shaking his head over there. Your preparation.
I know my preparation's off, Tommy. Boy,
focus,
that.
Focus, man.
Boy, that's bad. All right, moving on.
Andrew Wiedemann, focus.
All right. Question 3. Moving along quickly. Which do you prefer, the weather in Ohio or California?
California. Sorry, guys.
Can we fault him for that? Nah. Wait, so what's the mascot for the for Berkeley?
The Golden Bears.
The Golden Bears.
Yeah. That's That's my fantasy football team name. I drafted only guys from Berkeley.
Man, I'm hurting up here. Okay.
3-0, boys. That's a terrible league.
Peanut Gallery, Andrew, when you're up here, you can't engage the Peanut Gallery. All right, who would win in a fight, a golden bear or a bear cat?
I know, a golden bear would beat a Bruin, that's for sure. Maybe a bear cat. Let's go with the hometown favorite.
Yeah, good answer. And the last question, this is it. Ugo fumbled this one. God, good luck if you do too. In-N-Out or Skyline?
Skyline. Yeah.
Andrew Wiedemann is off the extra time hot seat. Hey, he did great. Didn't Andrew's off the hot seat. Give him a round of applause. All right, before we cut Andrew loose, along with our distinguished guests, I wanted to open up the floor for some questions from the audience. Any questions from the audience?
Not all at once.
Yeah. Come on, there were like seven people here for Jimmy McLaughlin, and he got like four questions.
Long-time listener, second-time caller, John O'Breger here. I know you said your goal at Harrisburg, I think, was your favorite goal or best goal, you know, whatever you scored. What do you think this season overall has been, like, the most exciting or your favorite point of the season just with the team as a whole?
Where to begin? There's so many. I know it's probably not the answer you're looking for, but the last home game against St. Louis, we won that one late, and I just remember the feeling after that game is probably unlike. We good? The feeling after that game was unlike anything I think I've experienced. Like, I was just gassed physically and mentally, and I remember, you know, as soon as that final whistle blew, like, just being at midfield and just doing, like, fist pumps in the air, which is something I never, ever do. So, I mean, that for me was a pretty special victory.
Any other questions? We can take a couple more. There we go. That's right.
I'm Tom, first-time speaker, long-time listener. You guys led the Cincinnati Oktoberfest chicken dance a few weeks ago. I just wanted to know, who was the best chicken dancer amongst the FC Cincinnati crowd? It was hard to see from being there in person. Who was most excited to be part of that Cincinnati tradition of the Cincinnati Oktoberfest?
Just players only? Because Jeff Birding was involved in that, and me and him put on a hell of a do-si-do.
Yeah.
Round and round, yeah. Yep, it was a beautiful thing to see, I must say. But there is some video, actually, of Jimmy McLaughlin, and this man just has no shame. So he was so in his element, just going all out. This man got down so low. So I would say probably him, and runner-up would be Austin Berry.
Any other questions? Listen, I've interacted with you guys dozens and dozens of times, and there's something just wasn't right about that scene up on that stage with Oktoberfest Cincinnati. It's almost like there might have been a few sodas involved. I don't know. I'm not here to cast aspersions.
You might have been. French right. Had some phenomenal lederhosen on, though.
Who's this?
Hopena?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
He went all out.
Yeah.
He did go all out. Chris White, the VP of the Pride. Exactly. Right here. So this question proposed to you when you first came here, it was early on in the season, of what you thought of Cincinnati. Yeah. Now that you have an entire season here, what do you think of the city now?
So the question was, I think we had some audio trouble there. The question was, if I'm not mistaken, how does he feel about the season now?
I love it, to put it simply. before I came here, I knew nothing about Cincinnati. And the people that I talked to, I've told this to a few people, all said that it was an up-and-coming town, which I did not know how to take that. I thought that was a polite way of saying, eh. But that was not what they meant. It is an up-and-coming town, and I've enjoyed my time here so much. I mean, it's a great city. Tons of restaurants to go eat at. Tons of bars to go out to when the time's right. Gotta add that disclaimer in. So I mean, I've really enjoyed it here. The people are great, super nice, super welcoming. The club's incredible. I mean, all that cliche stuff really hits home here. It's very true. So I love it. What's that?
We hope we get you next year.
I hope to be here next year. In fact, I'm under contract, so I better be here next year. I mean.
All right, that's going to do it for questions for Andrew. Thanks for being a good sport, Andrew. Do you want to plug your Twitter handle before you sign off here?
Yes, my Twitter handle is aweedeman3, W-I-E-D-E-M-A-N. And then for everybody that's listening here, I would just like to say that I really appreciate the support tonight. Your focus and intensity has been incredible. So now let's focus up on Sunday. Get ready and bring that same focus and intensity and get a win, huh? All right. Cheers, guys.
All right, Andrew. Andrew. Objectively, I've enjoyed covering this ride. I want to continue covering this ride. I know these fans want to keep supporting you on this ride. I wish you courage on Sunday. I wish you and your teammates Godspeed. A toast to our fine grand finale guest, Andrew Wiedemann. That's going to do it. But before we sign off, you can look for this podcast starting when, Jason? Tonight around 11:30, it will be up and posted. Check it out. You can find it on the Inquirer's FC Cincinnati app, which you can download from the Apple App Store. For the ultimate game day experience, download FC Cincinnati's very own app, made by Lisner. It's good stuff. Check it out. And follow the Inquirer for all your Sunday coverage needs. Listen to Tommy G if you can, if you're not at the game. And thank you to the good people at Rinehouse for hosting us tonight. Thank you to, give it up for Rinehouse. Thank you to producer and sports editor Jason for your help behind the sticks tonight. Good man. And thank you all so much for coming out. It's been a great season. Hopefully we get to do this again. We'll talk to you on Sunday at Nippert.